welcome to episode 102 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there is something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Laura, Lindsay, and Elizabeth. One statistic that always surprises us is that 80% of Americans have never cruised. There are lots of reasons people give us, but we think it's something you have to experience before you decide. There are lots of great reasons to cruise, and all of the cruise lines are different, so how do you find the one that's right for you? Well, you've come to the right place, so woo-hoo! Let's get started. I love that wasn't me. this is the main thing that I have to overcome when people tell me is they are afraid they're either going to get seasick or they're going to get sick on the cruise.
Seasick or like bleh, sick?
Like there'll be like some rampant disease spreading throughout the ship. Yeah.
So which one do you want to start with, seasick or bleh sick?
Let's start with bleh sick because that's the one that people I think is a little more irrational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the rule is you're more likely to get sick living in a college dorm than you are on a cruise ship. It is a sea of humanity, just like any place else. Mm-hmm. And I've told this story before on this podcast. I'll tell it again. Mm-hmm. I seriously watched toddlers licking the handrails at Walt Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Never touch the handrails.
I've had a friend almost climb into my seat on an airplane to try to get away from someone who was coughing next to me.
Yes. It can happen anywhere. But the basic rules of hygiene help you. Wash your hands, especially before you eat.
Yep. And when you walk into any dining area, there's hand sanitizer. They're handing out towels to wipe your hands. And so they're really on top of it. They're disinfecting all the time.
And you'll see them sanitizing the ship. You'll see them out there cleaning all the time and inside cleaning all the time.
So I've never.
Like, as you go into like every dining room, every place you eat, there's usually a line of staff standing there with hand sanitizer bottles.
Yeah. Yep. And that is a change. If you cruised before 2002, you may not have seen, that was the last time you cruised and now you're nervous. You may not have seen that before, but the cruise lines have all adopted much more rigorous. In fact, new ships are being built, you know, Royal Caribbean ships, as you walk into the dining room, there are hand washing stations and they direct you into the hand washing stations. They won't let you just walk into the buffet. You have to go wash your hands.
Yeah. So they're on top.
I was going to say, I think it's fairly safe to say that most people will wash their hands or sanitize their hands more on a cruise ship than they would.
Most people, not everyone. So yes, you can mock the people who walk out of the bathroom without washing their hands, just like you can anywhere else. Wash your hands. Yeah. And on Disney, they have these really cool hand washing stations in the kids clubs, which is also a key place to pick up, you know, because of course kids are not nearly as conscientious of washing their hands. And they have these hand washing stations that are automated where you basically stick your hands
they're
in.
Like
didn't you do
car washes? Yeah.
Yeah. There you stick your hands in and it just does everything for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about seasick? My husband was worried about this.
That one's harder. That one is harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard people say you don't feel the boat. Sometimes you can feel it.
Sometimes you do.
So what we did, my son is prone to motion sickness on long rides. And so I had talked to his pediatrician and he gave us the patch that you can wear behind your ear. And he was like 11 at the time. And so the dosage was one that the whole family could wear. And they last for like 3 days, I want to say. So if you get a box of four, you know, you're pretty good. And, you know, for us, I didn't need it. And everybody else wore it. And then one fell off in the pool or whatever, you know, like they ended up, nobody ended up needing it. And it was great. It was peace of mind. I know, Amy does Dramamine. She does the non-drowsy Dramamine and she has trouble with long car rides and stuff. So it's not just cruising.
And Amy, this is our Amy of Outlander Travel and she specializes in cruises. She loves cruising, but she is prone to motion sickness. So I do think it is sort of something that you need to test your sea legs. Don't judge your ability to be on like a small fishing vessel with a cruise ship. It is different. Yeah. And yes, you will feel it, but you won't feel it the way you do on a small fishing vessel. So they're different monsters for sure.
Yeah.
And I felt it more at night than any time else.
Is that because you were still, do you think?
Yeah. It's like you laid down and for me, it was kind of soothing.
Yeah. Rocks you to sleep.
I've only been on two cruises. One was Disney cruise with Make-A-Wish for, with my little girl. And the other one, I was a last-minute add-on to the Royal Caribbean, the one that goes to Falmouth and Haiti and... I can't remember the last place it went because I didn't get off.
Sure, Laura.
I didn't. I sat. I brought 5 books with me. That was my big goal, was I had really gotten out of reading, and I love to read. And so I brought 5 books with me, and I really, really wanted to read those books. It was more important to me than the ports we were going into. That cruise was just... because of the work I had been in, it was one of the first breaks I'd had in a long time.
Yeah.
And I just love the breezes in my face and the people bringing me drinks and the books by my side and not having to be responsible for any child.
Yeah.
I love that part of it. But anyhow, the only cruise I've been on before that was a Windjammer cruise in for what they call the Loose Pooper cruise in the Penobscot Bay. And it was a boat that holds 18 people.
Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. Yeah.
Totally different thing.
Yeah, very big difference. But I could still feel when I laid down at night, just that little, very gradual bit of, I don't know, it's like sway. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like rocking me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much, I mean, I could really feel it on the Windjammer. I mean, obviously, we're sleeping on the, you know, almost on the floor.
Yeah.
but on the bigger ship, it was just, it was very, very slight. But I never noticed it any other time on that ship. Now, granted, I was on the Oasis, which is
huge,
you know, like a floating city.
Yeah.
But,
and there are ways to avoid it. And you could talk to your travel agent about placement on the ship, trying to get cabins that will be less likely to affect you.
Feel it as much.
And the nice thing is they tend to be lower on deck, which means you're also, it's a little bit less expensive. So, for your first cruise, it is wise to maybe try that. And then you can walk around the ship and sort of feel how you feel. And then for your second cruise, if it really didn't bother you that much, you can branch out a little bit, go higher up to a higher deck where you have a prettier view. You can see further, I should say. It might not be prettier. It's ocean, one way or the other. But,
I know, you know, I was on a cruise where I had an ocean view on the first level. And, I mean, yeah, we could pretty much see the ocean. But
the fish swimming by. Yeah,
swimming past our window. No, we weren't underwater.
Though what Sandy said, you know, as a just in case, I brought the non-drowsy Dramamine. Mm-hmm. I brought the patches. I brought ginger candies, kind of all the things that sit on the list. But I, you know, I never used them for me or for my husband or for anyone who went with us. So
yeah, I think just be prepared. Bring the stuff with you.
And talk to your doctor too, because I think your doctor can really talk to you about how severe your nausea is and your motion sickness, and can line you up with the right. You know, some people might only need C-bands. Some people might need heavy, you know, Dramamine. Non-drowsy, of course, because drowsy sort of defeats the purpose. Let's pay a lot of money and get on the ship and sleep the whole time. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, that sounds kind of nice. Now that I say it out loud. But, it depends on the vacation you want, I suppose. But, yeah. So that is harder. And I would say that that is a much more valid argument than I'm going to get norovirus on my cruise. I think you can be careful and avoid illness on a cruise as easily as you can avoid illness anywhere else. You can't always avoid it. Can't make promises, but your chances aren't as bad as you think they are.
So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about your first cruise. What are you happy you knew, or what do you wish you had known? Like, maybe something that you could bring with you to have in your cabin, or...
Always have your pants.
Unless you're Lindsay, because Lindsay only wears dresses.
Very important. You have something to cover the bottom. So yeah, I think that's actually the disembarkation was a bit mysterious for me. And incidentally, the time that I forgot my pants, I was a very experienced cruiser by then. So, but you know, you do have to pack up the night before and make sure you have what you need for the next day. And if you are not a super organized person, it might behoove you to maybe make a list of what you're going to need so that you don't accidentally pack your pants and not have pants to wear the next day.
Yeah. Cause basically what happens is you put your luggage outside and they take it off the ship for you, and then you get up in the morning and you go have breakfast, and then you have a time, because they space people out so that everyone's not trying to get off the ship at once. And if you have an early flight or something and you need to get off early, you you can just not put your luggage out. And then you can carry it off as soon as the ship clears customs. But
and most cruise lines will let you do that no matter what nowadays, actually. I think too many people forgot their pants.
Yeah.
But
well, I so packed that is, Chris's wallet.
That's, that is now an option on every cruise line. But I actually like for other people to carry my luggage off.
It is nice. Because I do like having that one last meal, you know, mm-hmm. before you get off back to reality.
Well, before I was a travel agent kind of human, and I went on that Royal Caribbean, I looked up, you know, I just kind of Googled mm-hmm. things I wish I'd known or tips. And one of the people suggested that you pack your last days, you know, your get up, your disembarkation outfit in a big Ziploc bag.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why, you know, the other two women that I went with, we all did that. And so we could just pull that bag out and leave it. And it had, you know, undies and socks and our outfit and everything like that. So we didn't touch that the whole time. There was no worrying that it was dirty or that we didn't have it. And that was helpful for us.
That's so smart. I should have Googled.
That is a good, yeah.
I usually take a beach bag, and then the beach bag, the same one I use for my shorts or that I use for to pack for that last day so I can put my stuff outside and not have to worry about hauling everything.
And you know what? What you just said is a good tip. I don't think people think to bring a beach bag sometimes on their first cruise. Yeah. And that's, you know, you think, okay, I'm going on a cruise. I'll have everything I need. Why should I pack? Why should I pack a tote bag? But then you're like, oh, I'm going up to the pool. I use my beach bag all the time on a cruise.
Yeah.
All the time. And even if you just have a Kindle and a cover up or whatever, it is so nice to have that. So don't forget to bring, it doesn't have to be a full size beach bag, just some sort of tote bag that will carry your essentials for your family, depending on how big your family is.
Maybe your travel agent will give you one.
Sometimes that happens. And some cruise lines have frequent traveler rewards, but if you're a first time cruiser, that won't be you.
Yeah.
So definitely bring a bag of some sort, whether it's the one your travel agent gives you because they're awesome.
And a lot of times the cruise line will have a towel, like a beach towel in your room, so you don't have to pack your beach towel.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Which is nice because that saves a lot of luggage space. Mm-hmm. So another thing that I know, like to bring is like a case of water. So this is different for every cruise line. You need to check with the rules of the cruise line to make sure what you're allowed to bring on. Some let you bring a bottle of wine. Some let you bring beer. Some let you bring, you know, they let you bring sodas. Some don't. So check and see. But if you are allowed, that's a really good thing to have.
Yep. I know, like off the top of my head, I know Carnival will not let you bring it on board anymore, but you can buy it super cheap. So.
Yeah, it's very reasonable for that. But another thing I bring is a refillable water bottle. And I know when we were on Norwegian last time, they had signs up that said you were not allowed to refill your water bottle at the filling station or like where the water and stuff was. But I would just get a cup of water and pour it in my water bottle. Basically, they don't want something that's touched your mouth to touch that spout.
Sanitary,
yeah,
right.
That's exactly what it is. So I remember when I was doing that, some other woman she had her like Aquafina bottle, plastic water bottle, and she was trying to fill it up and the waiter was trying to stop her. And she started yelling at him and pointing at me and saying, well, why is she doing it? I've seen everybody do it. I was like, well, if you use a cup, you know, I'm like, why are you yelling at me? It's because I have this good planning ability.
Or, you know, ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, and I have worked in food service, so I understand why that is. I know why that is.
Well, and along with that, Cindy, I just had two friends who went on an inaugural, like, princess cruise, I think they're going out of New York and up to New England and Canada.
Nice.
And I wanted to do something. I didn't schedule their trip for them. They scheduled it before I started doing what I'm doing, but I wanted to do something nice for them. They've been really good to me. And so I looked, and they're both pretty big soda drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Princess line apparently doesn't have, or this boat didn't have kind of an all-you-can-drink package.
Okay.
They apparently only use like canned sodas and stuff like that. And so I bought them both a like a double lined tumbler with a cover on it so that they could have their drinks poured in there. And they said it was the best part of their trip because it's like if they were out on deck, their ice lasted for a long time, their drinks stayed cold for a long time, and they weren't constantly kind of having drinking water let down drinks. So kind of a people have Yetis or something like that.
Or like a Tervis mug. Yeah.
The Tervis are awesome, and you can get a million different
Yeah, that's what I gave my mom for like our cruise when we went. And Disney, incidentally, does have soda on the pool deck. So they're one of the ones that... are they the only one that gives you free soda?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Although you aren't supposed to fill your Tervis mug. It's the same reason. You're not supposed to fill it at the fountain. Well. You're supposed to use their cups. But you can do the same thing you did.
Yeah.
Fill
your cups. I'll do whatever they want me to do. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, you know, it seems silly when you're doing it. You're like, why don't I just, you know, nobody's watching me. Why don't I just, no, that's how people get sick.
Yeah. So. Just follow the rules.
Just follow the rules.
We're all about the rules here. Yeah.
And, you know, the other cruise that I sailed on was Royal Caribbean. And for me... Because I do drink a lot of like a Diet Sprite or Diet 7-Up, kind of the clear ones. Mm-hmm. Getting the soda package on that, you know, as a first-time cruiser, I was really glad I did that.
Yes. Yeah. It's
at that point, it was like $35 for the week or something like that.
Yeah, it's very inexpensive.
And in addition to it being incredibly economical, they had those really cool machines where you could, like, I could have like raspberry style.
Yeah. Royal Caribbean has freestyle machines. That's not common on that. It's something that's exclusive to Royal Caribbean, and it's not all of their ships either. But I think, although it may be soon, but yeah, that is a very cool, and that's something people tend to sit there and dither, especially with a soda package, about whether or not it's going to be worth it. The soda package is probably worth it. The alcohol package, you know, sometimes you do have to drink quite a few drinks in order to make it worth it. But especially if you're on a 7-night cruise. But
keep in mind that the alcohol package only covers up to a certain price on the beverage menu as well, which is another thing you might want to consider. If you only really like the expensive drinks...
Yeah.
Right. But your travel agent can advise you. And a lot of those, sometimes you'll get the credit up to X amount, like Royal Caribbean's new packages. You get the like $12 credit and then you pay the overage. And really, if you're drinking a $20 cocktail, God bless you. That's,
you know, the nice thing too that Royal Caribbean does is lets one person in the cabin.
Yes. It's so lovely.
Because a lot of times everybody, well, both, you know, whoever's over 21 has to get it. So that can really up the price. So, and then I've a lot lately in the last year, especially I've seen, the alcohol package as part of the promo for a lot of cruise lines.
Yes.
So,
and one thing to think about with the alcohol package that you, and this is true on Royal Caribbean. It isn't true on all the cruise lines yet, but I'm sure it will be. On Royal, you no longer have to sign when you get a drink. If you have a drink package, you just show your card and go. That actually makes a huge difference in your life. You would not believe how many pieces of paper you have to sign on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Royal has done away with that, and you know, I don't know how they track their booze now, but they do not make you sign a receipt every single time, even though it was always a zero receipt because you've already paid gratuities and for your drink. Mm-hmm. You would have to sign for everything. So again, you know, yay Royal. And we're talking about Royal a lot for drink packages because some, like Disney doesn't really have drink packages.
They have a wine package.
Yeah, and they have a beer mug where you get more for less. Like you get 20 ounces of beer for the price of a 16-ounce at Taps. But
I really enjoyed the non-traditional picture opportunities, too, that you could, you know, take advantage of, like on the cruises, of them taking your photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's always the ones like, you know, I'm not a love hot weather kind of girl. It seems like every time you got off the ship, you're standing in the blazing sun and they're going to, you know, shove some kind of anchor in your hand and tell you to smile.
Someone dressed like a pirate.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. What is that thing called? The round thing with the rope sign.
Lifesaver. Yeah.
The lifesaver.
Like preserver, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, and you're squinting or everybody has their sunglasses on. So it looks like you're all doing the Blues Brothers thing.
So are you saying it's a good thing or a bad thing? I'm confused.
No, I'm saying for me, it was like the non-traditional. It's like not those. It was like, you know, one of the nights on one of the decks, there was there was a big old car, you know, and you could choose to go ahead and have your picture taken there. Well, that turned out to be a really fun, you know, like you can look for those little pockets of.
Yep, I have one sitting right over there from the Allure of the Seas. Yes, you're absolutely right. And you can do formal pictures. You know, that's another thing. We don't have Olin Mills anymore. I don't know if I just dated myself. But and maybe they are still around and we just don't use them. But when my kids were little, we would go to Sears or whatever and get portraits made. Mm. But now we do all of our portraits, both for just the kids and for our whole family on our cruise ship. It's the same price as it used to be at Sears or anywhere else. They're great pictures. You have lots of time to dress up and, you know.
Another thing, too, is some of them you can book a a photo package in advance. Mm-hmm. I, Disney, and I feel like it's Royal and maybe Princess. I can't remember. But, yeah, there's some that you save a little bit of money if you buy in advance. And, yeah, that would be good because, like, yeah, like you said, you're all dressed up. I mean, when are you formal? You know, like, when do you get dressed up?
Yeah, with how often can you squeeze your 10-year-old into a suit?
Yeah.
I'm probably the most least. I totally get my hand slapped by every English teacher in here, but I have the least experience cruising, probably of our staff, you know, but there were things that I didn't know that I was glad that I, you know, kind of found out about early. One of them was that if I didn't like my meal or if I wanted to taste two things, that I could order something else. And, you know, when you go to a restaurant, that, you know, it's like you take what you get and that's it. You know, but I think it allowed me to be a little bit more adventurous or to say, you know, okay, so can you bring me just the lamb chop of this? And I'd really like the pearl orzo from this. for me, that really kind of made the trip because, oftentimes I look at things and I'm like, you know, I want to try this, but I don't want to spend $29.99 on it.
Right.
You know, the fact that I could kind of try or that I could try something and say, I just didn't like it. Is there any way I could, you know, and sometimes things that are not on the menu, you know, that there was one night we were there and my roommate was a 72-year-old woman. Who was my across the street neighbor who just, you know, she made the trip with me going with her, but she said, She loved having fried rice for breakfast. That was her big thing. But one night she said, I would kill for a cheeseburger and a vanilla milkshake. You know, well, we asked them. And they brought her a cheeseburger and a vanilla milkshake. So I think some of that flexibility is good for people to know who are worried they're not going to like the food or they won't get enough food or whatever it is.
Oh, I don't know if anybody worries they won't get enough food.
Because usually it's you worry you're going to get too much food.
Yeah, exactly.
How much am I going to weigh when I get out? I think my biggest takeaway from my first cruise, which I did before, long, long before I was a travel agent, and I wish somebody had told me, housekeeping-wise, make sure anything you can pay for in advance that you do pay for so that when you step on board, you don't have a balance. So that if you can get a picture package, if you can pay for it, a couple nights or a night before you are supposed to disembark, do it so that you don't end up standing in those lines. So you don't end up in the crush of people who are doing it the last minute that morning or the night before. That's probably the biggest tip that I can offer from experience. Again, traveling poorly, so you don't have to.
our motto. And I think along that same line, which seems unrelated, but stick with me on this, get the cabin that you really, really want. I can't tell you how many first-time cruisers say, oh, we're never going to be in the cabin, so we want an inside cabin. We want the cheapest possible cabin.
We'll sleep by the boiler room.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
It matters.
We've inside, loudest part of the ship.
Yeah, it really does matter. And first of all, the inside, let's just not even talk about noise, because noise is the obvious one. If I tell you you're sleeping over the engine, then you're probably going to be like, I don't want that. Although there's times that the back of the ship is fantastic. Those rear balconies that are extended, they're like, okay, I totally gave away the secret. They're the best. But an inside stateroom has absolutely zero natural light. And you know, there's a phenomenon which is not coming to me right now. What's that winter thing that people get?
Seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah.
Thank you. The seasonal, what is it called?
Seasonal affective disorder.
It can happen in 7 days, people. If you do not have natural light in your cabin, you will find yourself sleeping until freaking 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And you've just slept away half of your day. And people do not believe me when I say this, but I'm telling you from experience, you have no natural light and you are not used to living that way. Get a window. And it's not your travel agent trying to sell you a more expensive cabin because, frankly, a window costs you maybe $100 a week more than an inside stateroom. It's not a lot of money in my pocket, for sure. It is a huge difference in your cruise, though.
Sleeping either. It's like when you go back to the room. Mm-hmm. You go back to the room and it's all dark and you think, I'm just going to, you know, go to the bathroom again. And then you sit down, you're like, oh, it's so good. I'm out.
Get a cabin that is the appropriate size for your party. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is just because you can put four adults in an inside cabin doesn't really mean you should.
Yeah.
If you don't really understand how important that square footage on the balcony is until you need to step out there to have a moment to yourself, or you need to spread out in your stateroom, and that can mean that can make or break your trip right there. If you are too on top of people, I know it's so easy, and I'm one of these. I'm a budget person myself. I'm on a shoestring budget all the time when I travel, so I get it. I get the whole you're looking at the price and you're looking at, oh my goodness, I'm just going to get the inside, or I'm just going to get the ocean view. But that square footage, really think about it. Walk it through in your head. Do I have, you know, how many kids am I putting in here? How many adults, how many full-size bodies will be in this room at the same exact time?
And how many of them care where they fart?
Yes, exactly. How many of them are going to be courteous enough to leave in the restroom when they need to?
Yes. So definitely ask your travel agent, because I do think that, and for 3 days, maybe it's not such a big deal, but you also have to work out bedding, because, and I sell a lot of group cruises where a lot of adults go and they're like, oh, we're going to put four adults in. Okay, well, two of you have to sleep up on berths. And, bunk beds were cool when you were 12.
Yeah.
But when you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 60,
it's not
cool. Not cool.
And let's just talk about the logistics of the bathroom schedule, shall we?
Yeah.
Everybody having to shower and get ready and use the facilities generally around the same time. If you had another area, if you had a space for people to change, it would make your life so much easier and make your cruise so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. True. Yeah, it does. It seems like a very small amount of square footage, and the price can make you think, well, why would I do this? And some people are totally fine with an inside cabin. I think it is up to your personality, but you just really need to think about it before you do it.
So our first cruise I took with my whole family, we did a balcony, and I don't think I could get my husband without a balcony now. I probably should go ahead and start bumping him up to suites.
my first two cruises were inside staterooms, and then I did one that was a triple with a window, and in all those cases I was okay. But my two inside staterooms were on European cruises, so I was never even on the ship. Really?
Yeah.
I was off touring because those were very port intensive. So again, different times called. Although I will say there were times where I really wish I had the sun to help wake me up, because if I'd been out drinking a lot of ouzo the night before, not that I would do such a thing, it was a lot harder to get up and go tour Santorini the next morning. You know, if you don't have any natural light, if you don't have Mr. Sunshine coming in waking you up, it's tough.
Let's go back to Lindsay's point about prepaying for some stuff. So prepaying gratuities is one of those things that I like to do, because that's one of the, I mean, usually it's about now I'm seeing like $13 per person per day, and it gets automatically added to your bill, or you can prepay. And it gets added to your bill. If you really have a problem with it, you could, no, I wouldn't want anybody.
You can contest it, but you have to go stand in that line that Lindsay's talking
about. Yeah, and honestly, those people work really hard for that.
You do not want to be in that line.
I mean, it goes to your cabin stewards, and it goes to your wait staff in the restaurant and stuff, and those people do work very hard for that. So I would never begrudge them their gratuity. But then, like I had mentioned before, I'm seeing a lot of free drink packages with part of the promo, and for Norwegian in particular, you have to pay the gratuities for the drink package, even if you get the drink package for free. So, that's another additional cost, which is still, way less than what I'm probably going to spend on drinks on a 7-night cruise. So I think I'm coming out ahead, but that's one of those things that I think is, if you're not going to pay in advance, just be aware that they're going to show up on your bill. So,
yes. Yeah. And that if you don't want them to show up on your bill, you have to go down and not only stand in line to contest them, but then you have to contest them. And you're going to have to explain to people who really want to be sure that you had a good time. You're going to have to explain to them exactly why you didn't have a good time.
And
if it really is that you just don't, if you really just don't want to pay a gratuity, you really might want to think about that. You might want to just consider it part of your, your cruise expense, because honestly, you're not only taking money out of their hands, you may be taking a job out of their hands, because if they gave you great service, but you just don't feel like paying a tip, you're going to have to say that they didn't give you good service. And I have actually witnessed when someone had been giving poor service and it was reported halfway through a cruise, and I watched what the cruise line did to this guy. It was awful. It was really awful. I mean, because they hold them to a very high level of service. He was being very, very slow. And enough people complained about it in our section at dinner that he had a supervisor following him around. Yeah. And just imagine for a minute, somebody little barking at you the whole time you're working, just barking, barking, barking. It was awful. I felt bad for him.
That's horrible.
Another thing that a lot of people don't think about, and I definitely didn't think about on my first cruise, was prepaying for my shore excursions as soon as you can. Pay them, because what will happen, and every financial institution is completely different. In our case, we had every port we were at, our financial institution was pinged for the same amount, and our bank read it as an additional of the same amount. So it was X amount of dollars, but it was X amount of dollars plus X amount of dollars plus X amount of dollars plus X amount of dollars. And as you can imagine, my husband was really not very happy with the amount of money that they were holding for quite a long period of time that we were on that ship. And it was just something that I had wished at the time. My travel agent did not tell me. If she had told me, we would have done it right away and we would not have had that issue. So pay for whatever you need to pay for before.
You know, another thing, Lindsay, that because your honeymoon was a while ago, I get notified by my bank, especially when I'm in Florida. They cut off my debit card. If I don't tell them I'm traveling to Florida, they turn it off.
Oh, yeah.
And so you definitely always want to let your credit card company know if you're leaving the country or, you know, traveling in general.
It's much more common now. And actually, when I was in California, I just had a really interesting story. I'll just diverge and tell the story. I was in Northern California before we went to San Diego. My husband was still here. And I went to the grocery store in Northern California and I got like Tums and creamer and sugar cubes. It was like 20 bucks. And my husband went to the grocery store here in North Carolina and bought food for the three people who were remaining here. So I get a call from my credit card company because they were concerned. And I hear, you just visited a grocery store and spent $220. And in my head, I'm like, no, because I just got sugar and creamer. And so I had to get more details. And it turns out that my husband and I used our credit cards at grocery stores on the other side of the country within 10 minutes of each other. So it is in today's world where communication is very fast and fraud is very, very prevalent. It's a very good idea.
And that was a domestic call. You don't want to make that call international.
You don't want to have to have it. I had to make an international call to my bank, and we had the same, you know, it was, we didn't know that we'd notified, but we didn't notify the right department, or we didn't authorize the amount because the amount was double and then triple and then quadruple what it should have been. Yeah. So we had only authorized the original amount, and that kind of, I had to make that phone call, and you do not want to be standing at the desk and in your evening wear.
Oh, I know. Because I was in Amsterdam at the red light district and we had dinner at a very nice restaurant and our card got turned down and my husband had to run back to the hotel and get the other card. I sent Sandy a message and said, please help me. Our card isn't working and I can't make an international call. And she was like, she Facebooked me back and said, hey, I just got a fraud message from you. Some spammer trying to, I was like, no, that was me.
I thought it was one of those. You get those emails.
Amsterdam, figure it out.
It said you were stranded in Amsterdam and your card wasn't working. I was like, I am in Amsterdam. My card is not working. That's why I emailed you, because you would know. Thanks, friend. So
I've gotten emails like that before, though. I was
The emails, and that's the thing. It's hard to untangle all of that. So just save yourself some trouble and
pay in advance.
Traveling poorly, so you don't have to. Yes,
we rely on each other so heavily. Yeah. I feel like we need a code word in emails.
Right.
We probably should. Well, once we Facebooked, she was like, oh, that was really you. Okay, I'm right on it. And she totally helped me. But it was, yeah, it was very awkward.
Would be a good code word.
Our code word is red light district. Now the whole internet has it. That has nothing to do with first time cruising. Well, a little bit, but not much.
So one more thing I think we should touch on is, do you need a passport?
Yes.
But
all right, you go ahead, because I'm not going
to
talk about
it. So if you are leaving and returning to the same U.S. port, technically you don't need a passport. However, we always completely recommend passports because we never think it's something. This is another reason you need insurance too. But you never think something's going to happen on your cruise. But I could tell you story after story after story of, for some reason, someone missing a boat or having a medical emergency or, you know, things you just never think are going to happen.
And these are people who were perfectly healthy when they left the United States.
The 10-year-old kid with appendicitis in Mexico, you just never know. And you can't get on a plane without a passport. So, it's best to have one. You don't absolutely have to. If you want to cruise last minute, you just make sure your birth certificate has a raised seal. But we highly recommend passports.
And then you have a 10-year ticket to go anywhere.
Yeah, it makes you want to travel more. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And another thing that's a delicate topic, if you do have any convictions of anything, please let your travel agent know so they can advise you of the regulations for whatever countries you may be visiting at whatever port stops you may have along the way. It might not seem like it's important, but actually in today's day and age, it really is.
And likewise, if you have any non-traditional custodial arrangement, and by non-traditional, I mean boy, girl, parents with a child, you might want to have whatever paperwork you need.
Yeah,
in like any way, shape, or form. You may never have to show it. Keep it. You don't have to throw it out there. But if anybody asks you for it for any reason, and the reason is not because people don't like non-traditional families, it's because people take their children and run off to another country.
The same for a divorced parents. You know, like if your last name does not match your child's last name, you need to bring extra documentation.
Yes. And I use the words non-traditional sort of tongue in cheek. Non-traditional is mom, dad living together with babies that are theirs. If you have anything other than that, make sure you have, and even if you're with, a new partner or whatever, have the paperwork with you, because even if you've legally adopted or whatever, it could come up, and you just want to be over prepared. You may never have to show it, but it's always wise to have it. And that includes an affidavit. Talk to your family lawyer. It includes an affidavit from your co-parent, that says, I know that they're going out of the country, and it really is for the safety of you and your children. It doesn't seem like it at the time, cause it's a pain in the butt. You have to get a notarized letter, blah, blah, blah. But that's why it's there, so that people don't run off with their kids.
And then adjacent to that too, if you are planning on maybe mom and dad or mom or whoever is doing a spa day and grandma and grandpa are going to take the kids on a shore excursion, please talk to your travel agent. There's paperwork that needs to be filled out beforehand.
Yep.
For most cruise lines, you need to make sure that you have all of that in order, or they will not be allowed to leave the ship with
your kids.
Yeah, or get them out of the kids club.
Yeah.
They have to all know how to do that.
Yep. And that's even, like I was just talking about my friends who are going to Canada. You know, they found out something about if they had a DUI in the United States they couldn't get off the boat and go into Canada.
Yeah.
It can be a very old conviction too. It's not that we're trying to press.
That's a big one with Canada, because that's not an uncommon thing to have.
Apparently the United States does the same thing to Canadians, and that's why. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Believe me, we would want to ask if we didn't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not something I like asking my friends or my clients. Well,
and the final thing that you kind of skirt over real quickly is, don't forget about trip insurance and talk to your travel agent about why.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking, I think we've done a couple episodes on that.
I'm going to refer you back.
Numbers.
Yeah. No, it's a very good point, Laura. It's totally true, because many people discount it. And I still have clients who say, we've never gotten it before. Yep. Why should we get it now? And I tell them.
Well, and this is what I tell them. I always get it when I leave the country. I didn't buy it for San Diego. You know, I don't buy it every time I go to Disney or whatever. But if I'm leaving the country, yes, I buy it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I, unfortunately had a very, a good friend of mine who was on a local theater board in North Carolina, young, beautiful family 2 years ago who they were going on, it was their wedding anniversary, and they took their children with them. And they were on a Royal Caribbean cruise, actually, but I don't remember which line exactly, but they were in Cancun just out swimming, you know, just swimming. Got off the boat, swimming on the beach, and the dad, at 41 years old, had a heart attack and died.
Wow.
And the whole family, you know, number one, he had to be air flighted,
yep.
And they all had to leave the ship. And, you know, she's a yoga teacher and a dancer, and, you know, it's a picture of health family.
Yep.
Very young picture of health family.
It can help.
But they needed every bit of that trip insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it can happen at any time. So it really, it's part of your vacation.
Yeah, sure. That's part of the cost. Yep.
Not just thinking cruising, anything. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, that went much longer than I thought it was going to.
We probably didn't even scratch the surface.
I know. We should revisit this, yes, and talk about your,
yes,
second cruise.
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at OutlanderTravel.com and click on podcasts at the top of the page. Find the episode you wish to comment on, or you can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/OutlanderPodcast or search for Flyaway. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!